The truth is funny. Shift happens. With monthly guest host Karen Button. Get ready to toss your limitations and shift into a space of authentic, limitless living. Karen is a holistic nurse practitioner, plant essence alchemist, and movement medicine educator, bringing you passionate conversations that will ignite your potential to create expansive change in any and every facet of your life. Are you ready? Here's Karen.
Hello, and welcome to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm so thrilled to be here today. We are going to be talking about the Zac Brown song, Keeping the Heart Above the Head in Times of Stress. I love that song. I love the concept of letting it go. But what we're really going to focus in on today is this connection between the head and the heart, and the vast opportunities that are available in, I don't even like the word balancing, but looking at the information exchange between those two parts of the body. And I was actually going to be giving out my, or going for my first solo radio show today. And I was speaking to my dear friend and colleague who's been on this journey of seeking endless explanations for how and why things happen in the world and in our life and in our own body. And we got so excited to do it together. And it just so happens that she was free. So one, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. This is my friend, Anne Marie McQuaid. She is a teacher in the New York City school system. And she's going to tell us the rest about her.
Yeah, me. Sure. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me, Karen. This is perfect how it all worked out and fell into place last minute, which seems to be just how it works with us. And it's always perfect when it falls into place like this. So thank you. So I'm a speech therapist. I work for the New York City Public Schools. I work with children with autism spectrum disorders. I am also a mother of three. I have been on this journey of learning medicine, energy, and also not only partaking in receiving sessions and receiving this work and expanding with it, also a practitioner myself with body talk and Reiki as well. So I think that's it about me.
Just your general run-of-the-mill, you know, New York City school teacher.
Yeah.
Although I do think that it's growing, right? This sort of field of looking at things differently. And the heart, right? Maybe if you're listening out there, you want to just take a moment and place your hands on your heart, and we can all just sort of breathe in to this space in our chest. We're used to thinking about it as a pump, right? Pumping blood and nutrients and nourishment to all the cells, atoms, and molecules of the body. And we're going to honor that even for the moment, like, oh my goodness, this heart plays such a big role in that. And that's what most of us think about. And we have these amazing heart surgeons, cardiovascular doctors, everything out there that deals with the physical mechanics of the heart. And one of the primary impetuses for me to move beyond just the medical approach. I'm an endless seeker. I'm an Aries, and Amory and I share that endless seeking. Like we get together and we just sort of like, did you hear about this? Do you know this could be another reason why that is happening? Learning to discover that we hold the essence of ourself in the heart, right? That essence of us. Someone might say, you know, well, what does that mean? And, you know, Amory, let's go. Like, what does that mean? What does the essence of the self mean to you?
Oh, that's such a good question. The way I see it and living from the heart or learning to live from the heart, I see it as understanding and getting to know the true essence of who you are without the intellectual understanding of who we should be or what we've been taught we should be or how we're supposed to show up in the world. The essence of the heart is like our true I don't want to say personality, but like our true personality, our true essence, what we really are. You know, if we take away all of the beliefs and expectations placed on us, our essence, our truth is, it comes from the heart. It lives in the heart. Mm. So that's how I see it. It's sort of like when you start on this journey or getting to know your heart and your own, your own true self, you start to see things differently. You start to experience life differently, because you are leading from a place that, typically most of the world doesn't teach us to lead from or to listen to. And so it's
getting to know your heart class in high school. You didn't take that one.
Exactly.
I signed up for it, but there wasn't a class.
It got canceled for some reason. Heart 101. Yeah.
Who you really are. Right. And it does. I think particularly for our age group, we won't talk about what our age group is, but maybe we will. I mean, I'm actually kind of proud of it. Who are you? Right. And we usually define that. Well, first I want to mention just your explanation had me take a deep breath. I don't know if anybody out there in the audience, like just the way you spoke about it, I could sort of feel this relaxation that came over. And then suddenly I felt drawn to take a deep breath. And I first want to point that out to the audience of, that's connecting into your truth. So she's saying words, your body recognizes it. And if you have the skill of presence, you may find yourself either yawn or take a deep breath or even just feel your body relax. And it's not even so much the words, right, as the energy behind it. You can tell you've studied this a lot. And I would say beyond studied it, you've embodied it. Right, that you're not just intellectually understanding what the heart is, but there's a true sense of it coursing through your body, and that translates in the words that you speak. And that, you know, I think is a great point right off the bat of when we're talking to someone and we feel our bodies relax, we start to yawn, right? Which is hilarious, right? Going back to school, right? Stop that yawning. I'm sorry, I'm not bored. That's one of the things, right? We always have to say to our clients, no, we celebrate yawns. It's like the, I love to say, it's like the in the baseball field, I'm doing the wave. Yawns, it's like a big release. It's a resetting in the brain. It actually allows you to receive the energy frequencies that's coming from the other person on an embodied level and not just an intellectual level. And you will find if you really let yourself go into a yawn that, right, like you will feel it more deeply. So that's your second assignment, right? Your first assignment to the audience is like, notice how you feel when you're speaking to someone. And again, if you feel tight and tense, it doesn't mean it's that person. Right. But maybe, you know, maybe the information is not for you, or maybe the information is challenging you. All okay. But then also notice those times, and we all have them when we're listening to someone, like I just was listening to you speak. And I just felt, you know, this subtle expansion in my heart, this breath, relaxation breath come across, and then a desire to just take a nice cleansing breath.
Yeah, the word discovery comes to mind too. That was something else I had sort of jotted down, like discovering, right? Like discovering what we're drawn to, what excites us, what has meaning for us, what's meaningful, you know? So discovering what's meaningful for us feels like that's when you're in that place, that's heart centered. That's how I picture it or feel it anyway in my body.
And I love the word, I love your discovery. And then discovery of your own animating force, right? And I don't know, that may meet the audience and it may not, but there's, for me as a nurse practitioner, this idea, right? Technically, egg and sperm came together and then started to divide and create all these, you know, and differentiated, right? You started from one egg and one sperm that were magnetized together by an animating force that we don't fully understand. And then it started to differentiate. So each one of those parts of your body, the lungs, the heart, the liver, and gallbladder, all works in community, but they all have their individual job. And isn't it cool to discover the expression of each of those parts? right? The part of your body that in Chinese medicine kind of houses the essence of us, the truth of our animating force, which is free of, as you so eloquently expressed, the shoulds, coulds, and woulds. I think I said this to you last night, but there was a quote that I read, and I'm not gonna remember the author of it, but it was basically like, if you know exactly what you're doing on your path and you know exactly where you're going, you're probably doing someone else's path, right? So this, you know, this idea of this is exactly what I wanna do, it's very an intellectual thing. But then this, I get a sense I want to go here. I get a sense I want to do that. I get a sense that when I speak to you or you even say the word heart, my whole body relaxes. Does one experience hold more value than the other?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I was going to say, thinking about like having, you know, the quote that you were talking about or having a particular a mindset, right? Like a mindset of a particular specific goal that we want to get to. And I think if we're leading from the heart and we're really open and discovering our true essence, it's probably not what we think it's going to be. It's probably not going to take the path that we are expecting. And that can be really hard. People see that as, I know I've seen it as failure, right? It's, well, this is what I set out to do and it didn't happen the way that I had planned it or I had pictured it. And
so true. How many end of the days do you sit there and like, I didn't get this done. I didn't do that. I was supposed to do this. I didn't do that. And we go into this whole, like, I'm not worthy because I didn't do any of those things. Ooh, such a good point.
Yeah.
So maybe we would, you think you could say you're in your head then when, or I'm in my head then, or anyone's in their head then when they're, you know, exploring the inner critic, right? Because that's, well, is that separated from the heart? Is that separated from your true nature? Is that attached to some preconceived idea of how you're supposed to show up? Whoa.
I don't know. That's a good question. A little bit of both, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. It's probably more so in your head if you're when that self-critic comes in and the heart doesn't really have a critic that tells you you stink and you didn't do what you're supposed to do today, right? Or does it? I don't know. It's more, I think.
Well, I don't know prior to learning all this work that I would have known then understood that, right? I would have thought that, no, you know, this is what you do to get motivated to do the next thing. And there's, if that motivation is devoid of your unique individual nature, it will feel disorienting, right? It will feel off. But if you've never experienced feeling connected and feeling centered joy, right? That's just, you know, like I always sort of say, like the sunset, right? Like that when you're sitting in front of that sunset and whatever the problem is tends to sort of get a different charge. But if you've never felt that, or you, right? Because that's not an end result thing either, right? Feeling that is not like, oh, I got it. I felt it. I got my essence. I'm done. Right? Like as, okay, what's the next thing? Let's move on. Right? Like it's like an ever deepening thing, which I think is part of the tribe that you and I have created is like, oh my goodness, I felt it so deep, right? And then the next day you're like, I couldn't find it at all, right? Like, does anyone know how I get in there? And you call your friend, you call your mother, and you read books, and you read Bruce Lipton, and you read every book out there. How do I get connected to it again, right? And it's this constant ebb and flow.
Yeah.
I sort of interrupted you, but I mean, it was that, if you are desiring to experience it more deeply, your essence, your truth, that part of you that plays all the roles, you might create some experiences that are really bloody frustrating so that you can become aware that there's a possibility of infusing your life with that essence more deeply.
Yeah, that's those situations or those times or moments when you are living or showing up or coming from that true place, and it upsets everyone around you because they're not used to the kind of wild or not wild or peaceful or whatever it is, whatever that essence is and how it's showing up, can be unexpected for some people, and they're not quite sure how to. Yeah. How to navigate that when you change a bit.
Well,
you know?
And I mean, how dare we talk about the current climate, but so many of the young adults that I'm working with, they're crushed with feeling judged and shamed and wrong. And they're literally hitting a level of external judgment that has reached a pinnacle, you know, like going out, you know, they're in a phase that's naturally about socializing, expanding the heart, experiencing joy. That is like 18 to 23, right? Like I still go back to those movies. So like I want to, you know, embrace that fun again, you know, and they're the people in that age group, they're being told by society that that is wrong, that that is not safe, that you're putting other people in danger by doing that. And they're literally riddled with negative thoughts and fears of taking action. And so you can focus on how that's wrong, right? Maybe we need to rewire our world, but you can also use the heart and that sense of love to direct those students, those beautiful young kids, not kids, right? They're adults, to me and you, right? Mm-hmm. What would it be like to deepen our connection to our own truth as the antidote to judgment from others, you know, and it like to the level of like where you would say, as if someone were like, well, you're not a girl. And I know that's a whole nother bag of worms in the modern day world. But I mean, like, you're kind of like, no, I am a girl, right? There's no argument in that. And there's a level of feeling connected to the essence of self, which is here to make mistakes, which is here to do things wrong, which is here to have experiences and be willing to sort of love all those parts of self so that you show up raw and authentic, even in the face of someone, you know, judging you or calling you out or believing that you stand for something that is not aligned with their beliefs. So, you know, we're kind of talking about, I think, or at least the way I was taught, is to focus on the person and either make a plan to stay away from them or label them as a bad person or label the government and society as a bad person. And I think what we're proposing here is this additional approach that, with my hands, I keep seeing my hands all over the place. This additional approach that can be available to us too, which is deepening the connection to self as a tool to navigate these chaotic times, these times of stress.
Yes, totally. Say it again, just like that. That was perfect.
Then the next question is, how do you do that? So, how do you do that? Like, what are your go-to sources? I mean, I would you agree? Like, one of mine is often like vomit to you. You know, like I have a tribe, if you will, of women, which is, you know, not too many people, but that are aware of this container and the value of bringing everything back to self, right? And looking at your own inner landscape as the source of transformation, getting to know self to, okay, that's interesting. What did they say that triggered me? Can I, you know, work with that myself, whether I get a session or I meditate or I talk to a friend? What can I learn from this? What part of me is feeling limited in this person expressing their truth to me in that moment, which might be that I'm, you know, that I'm wrong, or that I, what I have to say has no value, or that, you know, how dare I say that to them? I mean, I've had that said to me, how dare you say your beliefs will influence if you get sick or not? And can I respect that that person has a different understanding of how the world works than I do? You know, in that moment, I reacted. I felt totally, you know, unearthed. Like, what do you mean? And what do we do? So I would say one of them is at least for me, is like talking to you or talking to people that will hold space for exactly where I'm at and my ability to get something out of it that and will redirect me if I'm blaming, if I'm pointing outward, if I'm trying to control the outside world in that moment, because we all have that well, that path is well journeyed. Right, that like we blame is a knee jerk response for all of us, and it's not always bad. I'm not at all here to say that it's a terrible thing. I'm here to say, can we match it with this connection to the heart as an equally powerful anecdote for times of stress and challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like you said, everything that's happening right now in the world and all of the daily interactions we may have with other people who may, again, have different beliefs about everything, what's happening and their own self-care and their health. And as you said earlier, you know, someone says to you, are you a girl or you're a girl? You don't feel triggered by it. But I often use that way of looking at things when I am feeling emotional, when someone says something to me who may have a different idea about what's happening than I do. And can I go back and just observe this without being in it for the reaction and going back at them with that same energy of conflict, you know? And again, not that there's anything wrong with conflict. Sometimes that's exactly what needs to happen. Living from the heart, right? That conflict can be amazing and incredible and powerful.
Yeah, right.
So walking away from conflict doesn't mean that that's, you know, the answer or what is the right thing to do. But I do often use that same technique where if I'm feeling triggered or emotional or reactive, you know, what is in this for me? You know, why am I feeling this way? And is there something for me to glean out of this situation that I can walk away and say, oh, that's interesting that I, and I think a lot of times it's that separateness, that feeling of, you're on that team, I'm on this team, right? You're separate from me. I'm not on your team because I don't have the same beliefs and thoughts and feelings that you do. So we are so separate, you know? So that's something.
And would you say the heart understands that those two teams are not separate?
Yes, absolutely.
The mind can't get it, right? Like when we're intellectually, it can't, it was so good. We're not on the same team. And you do like, don't you feel that sometimes at night? Like he's not on my team.
Yes.
She's not on my team. He's not on my team.
Yes. Whoa. And if they're not on my team, then I can't be friends with you anymore if you're not on my team.
Right. Right. Or I need to protect myself because you're not on my team, which means you're different.
Yeah.
But the reality is there really are no separate teams, just even between the head and the heart, right? Like if we use that as an example, like the heart, literally, we're used to thinking that the brain, right, runs the heart and organizes and plans the heart. But the brain cannot survive for, I mean, I don't know what the exact term is, but less than a few minutes, if that, seconds, without oxygenation that is, you know, the heart is providing it. So the brain needs the heart and the heart needs the brain. Right. And so even though they're expressing different physical attributes, it's the merging of the two where we really reach that human potential that's hard to quantify, speak of, right? Because even our words are very intellectually oriented, right? And that's where we're kind of started off with, like when you, the way you so beautifully started off our conversation of how I just felt so connected to my heart, so relaxed in when you were speaking, you know, that's beyond the words. That's feeling the frequency behind the person's words. Mm. that the heart will guide us in. And the heart's always the one kind of saying, okay, we got this. Like you can mess up, because actually messing up is necessary. But if we never messed up, we would never be challenged to do anything different. We just keep doing things the same. None of that going on in our world right now.
Over and over and over again, right? I definitely don't do that, so.
Look like I wore the same earrings as last time. Because why? I love them. These earrings are from Lotus Way. Everyone needs to check out Lotus Way. They have these amazing flower petals. And, you know, for someone, like, talk about change, right? As I started to explore and sense my own heart and its own needs, I went from someone who thought flowers were trivial and stupid and don't ever get me flowers, you know, that kind of I don't need them, to I met Katie Hess from Lotus Way, and I was so blown away by the first event that I went with her, which had flower petals everywhere and working with flower essences. And I could feel this, like, this lit up sense in me. And at that point, I had been seeking long enough that I recognized it. I was like, oh, this is what lit up feels like, right? Like, it wasn't something that came like this. Like, you actually have to work to have the awareness. You have to learn to have an awareness of what feeling lit up feels like. And I started taking flower essences. I started following everything they do. And now, you know, I'm doing a show on the heart. The first thing I thought is, well, I want these flower petals on my ears, because I want to feel them dangling, which will remind me of sort of that playful, childish nature that is available to all of us, that helps us, you know, find understood ways of moving through it. What would you say are, well, we are kind of asked that question, but I didn't really answer, I think, you know, activities, experiences, go-tos, whatever you want to share that have helped you amplify that lit up feeling, that heart-centered feeling, that, I mean, self-love, what do you want to call it? Harmony, heartwarming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love those earrings. They're so pretty. And I love Lotus Way. I think
go to lotusway.com or go to my website. We sell the flower essences there because they mean so much to my heart and soul. And they're so, so powerful for amplifying that frequency. Well, go ahead. You explain it, right? I know you're a big fan of them too.
I love them. Yeah. I love just to, that's actually using those sprays and those essences makes me feel like I've dropped into my heart. Oh, there you go. That's so weird. You had it sitting right there, huh?
Infinite love is empty, because I've been using that like there's no tomorrow. So this one's joy juice, right? Mm. Let's spread a little joy. Let's see if the audience can feel that. Yes, here we go. That one's for you.
Thank you.
That was for the audience. So everybody take a moment, right? Amplified by Amory. Can you feel the frequency that we are now amplifying out to you that represents and holds the vibrational frequency of flowers that amplify that inner sense of joy that is unrelated to anything that's happening, right? It's not dependent on getting an A. It's not dependent on, you know, getting to work on time. It's not dependent on looking good. It's not dependent on making that zit go away. It's not dependent on having your hair look perfect. It's not dependent on not getting in arguments. It's not dependent on people approving you. It is a joy and an essence that comes through. So yeah. More joy juice. How do we feel?
I love it. Something that came to mind when I was thinking about talking to you about living from the heart and living from your essence, and it's something I want to bring up. I feel like it's important. Many years ago, probably 8 years ago, when I first started on this journey of energy work and energy medicine and getting body talk sessions with you and with other practitioners and then learning the system myself, I thought that living from the heart at that time, and this is kind of a very intellectual way of looking at it, but I thought that living from the heart meant that I had to be this peaceful, forgiving, always happy, okay, saint-like person who would allow anything and everything to happen because I was living from the heart. I was heart-centered. And I think that that can be a, you know, it can be a common misperception that if you're living from the heart, it means that you have to be in a state of love all the time. Mm-hmm. You have to be in a state of peace and joy and happiness.
Oh, such a good point, Anne-Marie.
And so what happened was I was living from this place in the heart that was very much in my head, and I had no boundaries, right? I had not created any space for myself, really. And because I was always forgiving and forgetting and being loving and kind and from the heart. So it came to mind when I was thinking about talking to you today. And for everyone out there, I think when you start to, again, learn who you are and start this journey or continue on this journey of discovering yourself, discovering your essence and the beauty and uniqueness of you also very much encompasses having boundaries, saying no, not showing up in this state of love all the time and forgiveness all the time.
Getting angry, right?
And that's all part of the authentic expression of of living from the heart. So that's something that felt really strong about sharing, because that was a big part for me.
That's so, so powerful. You know, when you were talking, one of the things that you and I both were raised Catholic, so it made me think of, you know, Mother Mary and this image that was indoctrinated in my being, that is, you know, what we all should be as good Catholic girls, you know, striving for is, you know, gentle and passive and full of love and peaceful and emanating absolute, like your halo, right? Where's my halo? Halo, you know, like, you know, like all that. Mm-hmm. And I literally was like, oh, I'm so angry, you know, as I was a kid, because I remember I would go to church and it was like, please let me be good. Please let me be good. Because like one of the biggest, you know, things I would get in trouble for was my rambunctiousness in church. So it was like, if I could just be good in church this week, then I'll get my privileges back, please. You know, and you'd look at these statues of Mother Mary and you're like, I'm the furthest thing from that. Like I might have seen a glimpse of her in me for like 10 seconds yesterday. And I actually can't remember what I was doing, right? So this idea that, you know, as Catholics and every religion has their own version of it. But again, she is beautiful and she is like you. Goodness, the song, like the Ave Maria song, like the like tears, like that is a beautiful expression of the feminine. And what I love, what you're pointing out, and we've talked about this, is you know, the real feminine, you know, the fully part, which is wholeness, right, which is takes everything of the feminine, is much more like Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. You know, those qualities that exist, she's raw, she's wild, she's intuitive, she's fierce when she needs to, she's loving, calm, and open when she also needs to. And our overemphasis on how things should be stifles her expression, like you said, right? And then you suddenly are like, no, I'm not a good woman. I'm not a good. And the reality is like, yeah, like those energies serve us. Every single one of those emotions is the gift of the feminine to the world. Worry helps us, right? Get clear on what is aligned for us and what we can let go. Anger helps us, you know, get moving. A little bit of anger gets you moving in the morning. You know, fear helps you stay safe. Mm-hmm. What I forget, go grief, right? That's a big one these days. Like grief helps us let go of the past so we can move into the future. And you know, a woman, oh, so beautifully said, is the vehicle for the expression of all of this truth of our human, like we more than the masculine. And we're talking I'm talking energies now, not so much male or female, because we all have both of these energies. But when we can use both of them, look at me, I'm getting all like, you know, utilizing both of them. And so what's your favorite raw feminine energy in this moment right now?
My favorite raw feminine energy. Well, I tend to have that. I can get angry sometimes. It sort of gets me moving.
I like the coy way. If you guys see the video,
it's a cute kind of anger. Some might say,
but I'm all Aries, like angry. I feel comfortable being angry, you know, and letting that out and letting that. I mean, I give a little shout out here. I've started to work with John Wineland and taking some of his courses, and oh my goodness, like, I think the man speaks to me because he's had a lot of losses in his life. And as a surgical trauma nurse, I continue to get at the layers of loss, but, you know, facing death, you know, on a level that most 22-year-olds, well, I mean, most people don't experience that level of death their whole life, let alone, you know, what I saw and witnessed and held the hand of, you know, by the time I was 25. So the layers of grief, they come in waves, you know, and they come through me. And we think we know why we're having an emotion, but our need to understand it keeps us from feeling it and helping it move through.
So,
right? Then we're so, well, I know that I'm trying to figure out why I'm sad. I'm trying to figure out why I'm angry. I'm trying to figure out, right. And we don't feel it. We're in our mind then. We're the heart. Like, that's right in the body talk, right? That's the thing that we do with body talk is, people always talk about how light they feel afterwards. And it's like, we get the mind out of the way and the body's natural intelligence, that animating force, which I would go to say is the essence of it, is housed in this heart complex area, flows, and you just can't believe how things are so different after an hour of lying on a table and, like, possibly laughing, maybe some tears, maybe, you know, but tears that are like, I don't even know why I'm crying. Like, those kind of tears. And don't clients say that to you? Like, I have no idea. Like, or, oh my goodness, I'm crying. You know, as opposed to the story and the pain and the, it's just a, what's that? A leakage.
It's a release. Yeah, sure. And it's yeah. And I think that part of what you're talking about and saying it so, I'm listening to you. I'm like, yeah, right. Totally. All those emotions that have so much purpose. And we typically, like you said, intellectualize and want an answer. Why am I so angry right now? Why am I, you know, the why doesn't really, it doesn't get us any further. It doesn't do anything for us to be able to figure out so that so we can fix it, really. I think that's what we do in our head. Like, well, I'm so angry right now. So, and it must be because of this. So I won't do that again. Or I'll make sure that doesn't happen again. So we try to control and at least in our minds anyway, think that we're going to, control it and keep it from happening again. So because anger is so uncomfortable or sadness is so uncomfortable. Well, next time I'm not going to talk to that person because they, you know, trigger this sadness
rules.
In me.
We make rules.
Yeah.
So we don't feel that pain again.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. To keep super safe and super small and just keep making sure those things don't happen anymore.
Yeah.
So, but the purpose of all of those emotions, and I think honoring the purpose of them and how beautiful they are. And, you know, you're talking about like body talk sessions. And when I first started getting sessions, I couldn't understand what was happening. I didn't even feel actual sadness in the moment, but it was like a switch was turned on and all of a sudden there were tears, you know, streaming from my face. And I wasn't even in a particularly emotional, you know, in my, you know, feeling emotional. But the beauty of that and being able to allow that to happen is heart-centered, you know, it's coming from that place that wants to be your true essence. It wants to express itself and to be on that authentic path. It and so clearing away and allowing those emotions to flow lends
like your essence is using those emotions to allow you to express it.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
But so, we need to take our break because I have no idea what time it is.
Okay,
I talked to you all day long. So we're just gonna let that right? Those emotions are happening to allow your true essence to come through. And we're going to leave you with that as we go on our break. This is Karen Betton on The Truth is Funny. And my guest is Amory McQuabe. And we're talking about the heart, keeping the heart above the head, inspired by Zac Brown Band song, just keep my heart. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. Call in 1-800-930-2819, I think.
Are you trying to lose weight, but feel guilty for eating your favorite foods? Feeling deprived and resentful makes for results that aren't sustainable. Join Adrian Craig every second and fourth Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for her show, Master Your Mindset for a Weight Loss Breakthrough. Learn to love the journey and watch yourself succeed. For more information about Adrian or to work with her personally, visit LifeCanyon.com. Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. Let me ask you, how do you start your day? Do you wake up anxious and on edge, already feeling the pressure of your giant to-do list? Or do you wake up feeling calm, collected, and excited to start your day? Here's the little secret. How you start your day sets the tone and foundation for the rest of your day. A stressed morning creates a stressed, just reacting to everything day. A calm and connected to self morning leads to aligned and confident choices that help you reach your goals. So take a good look at your morning routine. What can you do to set up a healthy foundation for your day? To get some ideas and a sneak peek into my own Coffee with the Universe morning routine, go to www.coffeewiththeuniverse.net.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
If you struggle with fear and anxiety, you know how powerless and stuck these emotions can make you feel. You've tried everything, but nothing helped you overcome these blocks. Dr. Friedman Schaub, award-winning author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, created a special program which helped thousands of his clients to become healthy, happy, and confident again. Learn how to eliminate negative self-talk, let go of your emotional baggage, and replace limiting beliefs. With Dr. Friedman's accelerated program, you can break through your challenges. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Are you feeling lost or unmotivated, stuck and not sure what to do next? David George Brooke has exactly what you need on That Gratitude Guy podcast. David George Brooke is a speaker, best-selling author, and life coach here to share stories of motivation and inspiration to help you get unstuck and achieve great things by living with gratitude. Live every first and third Friday at 12:30 Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Kind of flow to the music. I like it. Welcome back. We are on The Truth is Funny. I am the monthly guest host for Colette Stefan. And my guest today is Amory McQuade. And we're having a, in my mind, an extremely lively and inspiring discussion about the role of the heart as a tool for navigating stress. And I think what we're really even putting out there is this idea that you don't need specific tools to get to it. You know, you can even just starting to play with this, this idea of what lights you up, because that's your heart. That's your essence. You know, like when I'm doing this, I feel lit up. And then we were just talking on the break of a couple of things that we thought we would cover as far as understanding on an intellectual level, obviously, because we're talking what that essence represents. And Amory, I'm going to ask you, right? So this we use sort of the term that's written in even our body talk world, that that heart holds a sense of connection to something bigger, really a sense of connection to the universe. So it's not, you know, in that sense, our essence is just a spark of the great one, whatever you want to call it, right? Whether you call that God or universal consciousness or Allah, whatever, you know, there's all different names that we have for it, but that which is greater than us. And our essence is a spark that holds the wholeness. And that's why it's so magical. Magical meaning we don't understand why it offers us such a sense of release, such a sense of support, such a sense of deep-rooted connection to the truth of us, which is we're amazing regardless of what we are or are not doing. We're serving a purpose. We are representing that great force. What do you think? Talk to me.
Yeah, well said, sister. The way I see it is you know, we were talking a little bit before about separateness and connection and heart connection and heart coherence. And so in the 3D, you know, in the three-dimensional world where we are now, where things are physical and things are made of matter, we are separate, so to speak, because you're there and I'm here. And so there's, you know, time and space that we deal with on the three-dimensional.
Didn't touch you?
Although I did smell the essence before when you sprayed it.
See? You're so familiar with it, right? You can even then think about it and create the experience. That's a skill. A quite valuable skill set, right? Because you always have your mind with you. But there's your using the mind to create an amplification of your heart. There's your mind serving your heart. Boom.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. That was like three-pointer. Good, yeah.
On occasion, the mind can be the servant of the heart. Yeah. Imagine you're spraying the perfect essence for you right now.
Yeah.
It can change the whole energy in a room. I've watched it, right? Like you spray some flower essences. Everyone feels it intuitively, and it starts to shift and change. And to what you're just saying, right? We move away from the heaviness of the physical, the connection to just our bodies and the physical things that are happening. You're sitting on a chair, you're talking, you are having a problem. When we start to move into a sense of feeling that has more fluidity to it, isn't so condensed in its, help me, isn't so condensed in its physicality.
Right.
It has more fluid.
Yeah.
Would you say that suffices for the 3D versus the?
Well, see, yeah. So actually something else just came to mind too, but what I was thinking of, you know, when you are feeling or experiencing an elevated emotion in your heart, say you're feeling joyful, you spray some essences, or you're feeling, you're laughing. When you're in the presence of other people, there are studies that have been done with, you know, people having, sinking, their hearts actually sink. So if I'm feeling this elevated emotion, excitement, happiness, joy, and you or other people are in that presence, that can actually shift and change what's happening in the room. So that the coherence of those people's hearts can also pick up on, right? So we have that electromagnetic field that our heart is part of and always giving off energy. And so
you are serving the greater humanity.
Yeah.
By dedicating or committing to understanding, connecting to, amplifying, marinating in the heart energy. I mean, it's basically, you know, and this is that whole thing we're used to trying to transform what's going on out there, to change the world, focus on what's out there. And you're basically saying the studies have shown someone who has what they call heart coherence, which is connection in a very simplified way to the heart, actually has documentedly changed the frequency of the hearts of all the people that they are with.
Yes. Yes. Truth. And I think that also when we're talking about like the three-dimensional and the physical, beyond the three-dimensional or beyond, you know, our physical world, that's where we are also connected from the heart, or, you know, from the heart center, where everything is connected and there is no separateness of the physical world. You know, so it's beyond, you know, if you want to say it's, you know, in another dimension or another universe, you know, whatever word, like you said earlier, you know, whatever belief system you subscribe to. But I think that that's also where we are connected, all connected together. Mm-hmm. At this higher level where our heart energies are all linked, you know, not all the time, I think, basically. Yeah, that's sort of how I picture it in my mind, outside of the 3D world, outside of the physical.
And that sense of being a part of something greater.
Yes.
Helps us sort of feel more fluid, which helps a creative mind access solutions and answers in multiple pathways or multiple ways of perceiving anything, right? And suddenly that conflict or challenge that has you so you suddenly can see it from many different perspectives. First, it might happen with one, right? Like, she was rude to me. That might be your first. And then suddenly you're like, actually, she was reflecting that tiny little, that part of me that still feels abandoned and, you know, ignored by my parent who was maybe an alcoholic, or, you know, just for an example. And that moment gives me the opportunity to then nurture that part of myself that is still feeling abandoned by the experiences of my childhood. And I can take responsibility for that to shift it and move it and change it, which will then, right, open my heart even more, because I am the only one that can give myself what I need, because no one's had my experiences, right? There's no expert out there that is the unique representation of you that has the filters and the expectations and the projections. So these are like what you're saying. These are all the inspirations for getting to know you more deeply, is to know those subtle little belief systems, those subtle little triggers that impact how you see the world, the experiences that you have, and then the power that you have by just observing it. Your observation changes the molecules, changes the hormones that are coursing through your body, changes the neurotransmitters that are coursing through your body, which ultimately changes, right, as you said, everyone around you and your physical body. I mean, that's powerful. That's inspiring to me, you know, and which then would say, how dare you not be authentic with someone in how you feel? Because if you're not authentic with them, coming from your heart, speaking your essence, you're wrong. I don't believe, you know, when you're not saying your truth, you then take away their opportunity to expand, to transform, to see that part of themselves that wants to be nurtured, that wants to be seen, that wants to be witnessed, that wants to be observed.
Yes, that's so, oh my gosh, yeah. And wants to heal, right? It wants to heal a part of themselves that has been waiting. And your that opportunity shows itself when, like you said, you are speaking your truth and you are maybe getting, you know, into you know, some kind of an energetic exchange that might feel a little bit uncomfortable, but you're inviting that person and yourself to, by observing it and seeing it, to really shift and heal. Beautiful.
All right, let's get a little shake out of the hands, everybody, all the audience. If you're listening to this in a podcast, we've come to the end. My headphone. Shake your hands up over your head. Get a little energy running through your body. There's nothing you need to remember. This is the truth that is running and coursing through your body, and you will apply it in whatever way is perfect for you. I am Karen Betten at karenbetten.com, B-E-T-T-E-N. Anne-Marie, you can also find, well, she's coming up on our website very soon, ways to work with her one-on-one. I teach weekly classes. Please reach out to us with any questions, any comments. This will be posted on my website with a podcast where we can comment and continue the discussion. To our amazing audience, thank you so much. To Olivia, producer, she's like this spark of inspiration. I'm just so thrilled to have her on board with the team. To Transformation Talk Radio, thank you so much. Anne-Marie, thank you. Oh my goodness, from the bottom of my heart for spending this hour in just such a, there's no words for
it. I've never had more fun. That was the most fun hour I've had ever.
Boom, the hour's gone. Collect's here next week at 8 a.m. Pacific time, and I'm here a month from now. So thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens with Karen Benton. Tune in every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for more rich discussions packed with practical tools to help you learn to live limitlessly. Are you looking for more? Visit KarenBenton.com to schedule a private session, join her weekly movement medicine class, and discover some amazing products you didn't know you wanted to try. Ever heard of chocolate meditation? That's KarenBenton.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.